Today we celebrate, as we started with our song, as you saw on the video, he's a prison shaking savior. People have been set free from the prison of sin in their lives. I hope that has happened for you. It's happened for me. Today we conclude our Celebrate series with the third and final parable of Luke 15. If you'll turn to Luke 15, we've been here for 3 weeks now. We will finish up with the final parable. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story told by Jesus to bring a spiritual truth. It's something we can take and apply to our lives. Now, we looked 2 weeks ago at the story of the lost sheep. Last week, we looked at the story of the lost coin. Today, we're going to unpack what is the most recognized parable in all of the scripture. And it's the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as you may know it to be called. So Luke chapter 15, we'll begin in verse 11. I'll read it for us. You follow along. Luke 15, 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." Verse 14. "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed his pigs in the field." Verse 16. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Verse 17. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." You don't know it, friends. Let me stop right there for a second. You don't know it, but that's the way you came to salvation. While you were a long way off, the father saw you. He ran to you. He brought you salvation. Verse 21, "The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' Verse 21, but the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." I love it. The first two parables in Luke 15 show us what God celebrates. Remember this: he celebrates when someone lost in their sin is found by their Savior. He celebrates the fact that he is our burden bearer and he bears them for us. He celebrates the fact that we can light a lamp to illuminate the gospel, as we talked about last week. And now, in this third parable, he celebrates when the prodigal son returns home. And there are a number of lessons we can learn from this. Let's unpack them together. Go back to verse 11, Luke 15, 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Now, let me explain for a moment. Jewish custom was very specific for there to be two sons in a home and their estate would be divided by the father. The older son, the elder brother, would always receive 2/3 of the estate and the younger son would get 1/3. That's the birthright. The women would not get anything unless there was not a son in this Jewish tradition and custom of the day. So the older son would get 2/3 and the younger son would get 1/3. So by all accounts, this inheritance was only given when the father dies or when the father was incapable of managing his own affairs. In other words, he would be so frail he couldn't handle it on his own, and so then he would pass it on. So I want you to understand that when the younger son says, "I would like my share of the estate," listen to this, don't miss this. It was the same as if he was saying to his father, I wish you were dead. I want to live my own life. You say, well, that seems extreme. Well, at the very least, it would be like saying, I'm going to pretend like you don't exist, and I want everything I deserve, and I want it now. That's how it would have been perceived by the Father. That's how it would have been perceived by anyone else who knew what was happening. Now, let me ask you, does that sound familiar? Does it at all? Is that not the very cry of our actions when we walk in willful disobedience to God? It's as if we say, God, for this minute, I'm going to pretend you don't exist, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen, I just described every time you and I commit a sin. That's what we do. It's as if we say, God, for this moment, I'm going to pretend you don't exist. I'm going to pretend that what you said is not true. I'm going to pretend that I'm really on my own here, and I'm going to do what I want. Every person in this room who has sinned, and to sin means that we disobey God, that we have removed ourselves from following exactly His plan, and we all have sinned, the scripture tells us. So hear this, every last one of us who have sinned, that means that you and I, all of a sudden, we can relate to the prodigal son. You and I, we're the prodigal son or daughter in this story. Or we're at least the former prodigal son or daughter. We have to start by owning that. That's as if we're saying, God, right now I'm doing what I want as if you do not exist. Let's keep going. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, some English translations use the phrase extravagant living. Basically, it was wasteful living. He was living above his means. Verse 30 implies that it was also immoral living. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever wasted part of your life? Have you ever wasted any part of the resources God has given you? Have you ever lived above your means? That's the American way, isn't it? I tell you, I would have to answer yes to this. Have you ever walked in immorality? You have to answer that in your own heart and mind. If the answer is yes to any of these, then listen. Let me be blunt. You are the prodigal son or daughter. It's truth. It's here. We see it. But don't worry. Don't worry. There's good news coming. So what happens next? Famine strikes the land. The younger son squanders all of his wealth. He's desperate. And then look what happens in verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. Now listen, I love it. It says he came to his senses. Some translations say he came to himself. He came to an understanding. He remembered who he was. So he came to himself and he knew who he was, a man without hope on his own. He needed his father's help. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, there was a moment in time when you saw yourself for who you really were, a person without hope on your own. Listen, that was true of me. It was true of you as well. So the son says these words, I have sinned against heaven. Now, what does that mean? That was simply the Jewish way of saying, I have sinned against God. You see, out of fear and reverence, a Jewish person would never in their wildest dreams speak the name of God out loud. Out of holy reverence and fear for him, that would not be done. So you would see the phrase, I have sinned against heaven, meaning I have sinned against God. Listen, I think there's something powerful about that kind of reverence. Something powerful about that kind of awe of who God is. This was, in essence, many believe, a step of repentance. He confessed. He changed directions back to God's direction. He began the journey home in repentance to make things right. But if you're here today and you realize you're without hope on your own, I want to encourage you to repent and be transformed right now. You say, well, how do I do that? It's simple. There are some scripture verses that we learn from childhood if you grow up in church. So if not, let me share them with you real quickly. And we would love for you to know them. John 3:16 says, for all have sinned and fall short of... Excuse me, that's not John 3:16. I'm just checking you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Everyone in this room has sinned. Every person in this room has disobeyed God. You didn't accidentally mess up. You basically said, God, I'm going to pretend you don't exist for this minute and I'm going to do what I want. That's a simple version of it from the prodigal son story. We all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, his perfection. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now here's the good news. Death does not mean that you just die. It's not the definition. Here's the bad news. Death means separation from God for eternity. Oh, that you would just die. That would be better. But it means to be separated from God for all eternity. So it says the wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God gives us life with him for all eternity. Romans 5:8 says that Christ, God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, went to the cross for you and for me. While he was on the cross, he took your sins there with him. He died. Those sins died too. 3 days later, he comes back to life without your sin. Jesus is the only one who died with your sin. He's the only one to come back to life without your sin. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. You can walk this aisle and ask the pastor to forgive you, but I can't do it. You can ask your mama to forgive you, but she can't do it. You can ask your teacher to forgive you, but they can't do it. You can ask a coworker, a friend, or spouse. Only God can forgive you for the weight and penalty of your sin because he's the only one who died with your sin and came back to life without your sin. But what a glorious God we have that he made a way. It's as if he comes running down the road to claim you, son or daughter, as his own. That's exactly what he does. So if you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, right now in this moment, we won't wait till we sing a song at the end. In this moment, would you simply, in your heart and in your mind, would you cry out to the Lord and say, Father God, I give you my life. I confess my sins to you. I've tried it my way and I want your way. I need you to bring salvation to me. Would you pray that now? You say those words? Listen, there's no special words to pray. It is an attitude of repentance that says, Father, I receive your gift of salvation. I encourage you to invite him in today, in this moment, right now. But for those of us who know him, friends, can I say to you that he has already brought salvation to you? But I want you to notice something which happens for a lot of believers. Don't miss this, what happens next. It says this, tells this story. He says, after repenting and saying, I've sinned against heaven and against you, Father, he then asks his father to hire him as a servant. He intended to ask him. He never got to ask him. Now listen, don't miss this. That's a classic example of someone who receives God's grace and then spends the rest of their life trying to earn it. It's the prodigal son who says, Father, I've sinned against you. I confess. I repent. But now, will you just hire me as your servant? Listen, friends, can I tell you, you cannot earn the grace of God. You would never be able to. It's high time that you and I stop acting like servants and started acting like the sons and daughters of the King that we are. The scripture is clear. You and I, once we give our lives to the Lord, we have been adopted into the kingdom of God. There's a verse that tells us we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are heirs to the throne of the kingdom with Jesus. We are heirs to the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God, the freedom of God. So the last thing you and I need to do is to cheapen grace by trying to earn it. But that's what we do often. We'll say, God, I received your gift of salvation. Now I'm going to work so hard to keep it, or I'm going to work hard because I owe you in some way. You know, you say, well, how do I know if that's me? Here's some ways to know. When you're trying to work for your salvation, it often leads to fear. When you're trying to work for your salvation, it always, in some way, leads to anxiety. What if I mess this up? It leads to worry. It leads to legalism. The four-letter word of the church. Let me tell you, legalism is terrible. It leads to bondage. And so what happens is we get to the place where we're walking and everything we do is, I've got to do this so God will accept me. I've got to do this so he'll be pleased with me. And oh, friends, if you get stuck in that cycle, it is miserable, miserable place to be. First of all, because you can't be accepted any more by him than you are now. You're trying to do something it's impossible to do. So God's grace comes, and he does not say, as the young son says, let me just be your servant. The father said, no, you're my son. Now, I realize the scripture calls us servants of God, but the greater emphasis is that we are sons of God and daughters of God. So I can tell you this, if we, like the prodigal son, repent and receive forgiveness, and then we just try to work it off, you will be miserable. But see, the good news is, in the story, in the parable, the father didn't let that happen. The bad news is, for you and me, God sometimes allows us to walk that wrong road if we decide to. And I want to encourage you not to, because he makes a way you don't have to. He told the servants, the true servants, go kill the fatted calf, bring the robe, put a ring on his finger. My son has returned. He didn't say my indentured servant has returned. He didn't say the slave that now owes me has returned. He said my son. He didn't even say my son who squandered a third of my wealth. There was no guilt there. He just said my son's returned. For those of you in the room, and I don't mean to be too personal, but there are some in this room that you have a broken relationship with a son or daughter, and oh, how happy you would be if they would return, and oh, how happy you would be to see that made right again. There are a number of us in this room who have adult children who maybe are not walking closely to the Lord. They're far from God. And oh, how happy you would be to see them in an act of repentance come back to him. And the last thing you would want is for there to be condemnation toward them, or them thinking, well, you barely made it, so you hold on. Listen, God calls us his sons and daughters. And so I want to encourage you today that, yes, there will be right living and righteous living involved, but that's because we're walking in the freedom of a son and daughter. It is not because we're trying to earn a place at the table. Listen, your children didn't have to earn a place at your dinner table. You feed them because they're your children. They didn't have to earn a place under your roof. You clothe them and provide for them because they are your children. Now, that doesn't mean you don't discipline them. That doesn't mean there's not some things to work through. But you love your children. And can I tell you that God the Father gives every indication over and over in the scripture that he loves his children, that he provides for his sons and daughters, that he loves to be able to move in our lives. So friends, don't walk in that legalism anymore. You can't earn it. You can't. It's a free gift of God's grace. And that will allow you to walk in true freedom. I love this idea that this final parable, the biggest one, really deals with children, of a father and a son. And we don't even have time to read the rest of the story where the older son comes in and shows some pride, and then he even thinks of his relationship with the father. Everybody looks at him as, well, he's the one that stayed good. He represents a good church member. Have you ever noticed, though? He starts talking about how he had slaved for his father. You see, in his own mind, he was working some legalistic angles in thinking he was just a servant and not just a son as well. So we could talk about him, but we don't have time today. But let me simply say this. We all are represented in that prodigal son, that younger son or daughter. And God, in a miraculous and incredible way, brings us grace and calls us his own, brings us as his child. So I want to encourage you, don't walk in the legalism of that. Don't look for that you have to earn that. It will not work. Think about a relationship between you and your children, if you have children. If you don't, think about yours with your parents. And sometimes there have been good relationships and sometimes bad, and I understand. But for the majority that have had a good relationship, you stop and think about the joy that your children bring to your life. It does not mean there are not moments of frustration. Amen. Nobody else had a moment of frustration? Some of y'all cannot remember, is all I'm saying. So, but the reality is they bring joy to your life. You would give your life for your child. You would protect them at all costs. Listen, you love your child. And I think that one of the reasons Jesus loved children so much, honestly, is because kids know how to be loved. You say, what do you mean, Chris? Well, there are exceptions, of course, where children really have been mistreated, and so they think they have to earn approval. But for children in a healthy home, they understand the freedom of love. They may mess up, they may disobey, they may get in trouble and receive discipline. But they know at the end of the day that they are loved and they know whom they belong to. Amen. Listen, I can discipline one of my children and 30 minutes later, they can be hugging me. Why? Because they know I love them. And they know at the end of the day that I will be fierce in my love toward them if another comes our way to cause trouble. They know that. And I would encourage you to stop and realize that we can learn so much from the relationship of parents and children, and this idea that God celebrates children. God celebrates what he has done in our lives. Can I remind you today who loves you? It's God. Can I remind you today who you belong to? It's God. One of the favorite activities of most children is coloring. Kids are taught to creatively bring images to life by adding color. Now, let's be honest, it's not always a work of art. Sometimes my kids have brought me colored sheets over the years and said, look what I made, and I think that's beautiful, and I don't know what it is. You know, you've had those moments, you're not sure what it was, but it is, it's great. And then there are times that it just makes perfect sense exactly what it is. So what others might look at and say, that's just not that good, you would consider a priceless piece of art. Why? Listen to this. Because it's an expression of the child you love and the child you call your own. So friends, I want to encourage you as we end this Celebrate series that you are an expression, the way you live your life is an expression of the child whom God loves and the child whom God calls his own. So whether you're 88 or 8, whether you're 64 or 16, I want you to, for a moment, to pretend and go back to childhood. I want you to go back to a moment where you can be reminded that Jesus loved children, that God celebrated children, and that as we color, we're reminded that it's a beautiful expression of the grace of God. On the back of your worship guide, everybody take your worship guide out. It's crowd participation time for a moment. On the back of your worship guide, we've taken the Celebrate logo and made it into a color sheet for you. And there is a picture of the prodigal son and the father. It's not a picture. It's a drawing. We didn't get a picture. We couldn't find a picture, so we tried. But we have this here. So here's what I want to ask you to do. A few years back, we colored a color sheet as part of our worship service, and you may think, well, that was like 4 or 5 years ago. I wasn't here. I don't know, and I don't color. Listen, we have some that don't sing. We have some that don't smile. But listen, don't be the one that doesn't color, okay? Everybody can color. So you say, well, I don't have any colors. You're in luck. On the ends of each pew, there are little packs of colors. They're wrapped in three. Everybody grab one. You're going to need one. This is from the youngest to the oldest. It's a competition. We're giving away a car for the best color. That part might not be true, but the rest of everything else we've said has been true up to this point. So we're all going to color. So here's what we're going to do. I've asked Chuck for the next couple of moments to sing a song about the grace of God. And it's a song about grace told through the eyes of children's art. And so as Chuck sings this song, what I want you to do is to color with your three colors. Now listen, wait, this is important. You may say the colors I were handed were not good colors. The colors are not the ones I would have chose. Listen. Is that not sort of like your life? Sometimes you're handed things in life, you may say, well, that's not exactly what I would have chosen. Well, friend, let me tell you, the life God has given you is an expression of the grace of God. So take what you've been given and use it to the best of your ability. If you get outside the lines, that's no big deal. Listen, that's life. But make a beautiful image you can represent the grace of God. About 3 minutes is all I'm asking of you to do this while Chuck sings this song. You can listen while we color together. I'm going to color from here. All right, Chuck, sing to us. Everybody color.
Your little kid comes home from kindergarten. He says, Mom, I drew a picture just for you. A masterpiece on green construction paper. Though what it is, you haven't got a clue. But you love those little scribbles just because of whose they are. Just what they mean, you really do not care. You just kiss your little Rembrandt and you say, when we get home, we're gonna tape it up on the refrigerator. Cause you're a connector of refrigerator art. You're a collector of refrigerator art. Well, little kids create the world with their Crayola. To some it might just look a colored mess, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And moms can be so easy to impress. They are collectors of refrigerator art. And no mother worth the keeping would chastise or deplore. She would open up a gallery right on the freezer door. Well, we try to do the best of which we're able, but every time you know we fall so short. Compared to true perfection, we all fall outside the lines. At best, we're all just refrigerator art. But the one who put the stars up in the heavens, he's the one who made the wings of the butterflies. He will take us with our awful disproportion. Somehow we're all still so lovely in his eyes. He's a collector of refrigerator art. He's a corrector of refrigerator art. And he's the protector of refrigerator art. Well, a little kid comes home from kindergarten. He says, "Happy Mama's Day, I drew this just for you."
Colors down. Hands at your side, right? So, okay, let's see your image. Everybody hold it up. Pass it around. Let's take a little look around. Share what you got there. Let me see. Some nice things here. All right, let's see what everybody's got. Now show your neighbor so they'll know. Thank you, Chuck. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. I have a request for you. I would like to ask you to do something very important. That for some of you that live a little more on the OCD side of how things have to be at your house, this might be hard, but I'm going to ask you to put this up on your refrigerator, okay? Just for a week. Now, some of you, like in our house, this won't be a big deal. There's stuff all over our fridge. So for some of you, though, you're just pristine. But just until next Sunday, would you place this on your fridge? And I want it to serve as a reminder. Let it simply be a reminder of the grace of God at work in the child of God who created this masterpiece. Now, you may say, mine's not a masterpiece. Listen, it is all in the eyes of the beholder. And I can assure you that God the Father looks at your life and does not say that's junk. I can assure you that he looks at the redeemed life lived for him and sees his masterpiece at work. So would you let the grand artist be the judge of your peace? So put it on your fridge. Let it be reminded that your life is an expression of his grace. So listen, you better color good this week in how you live your life. So as we move to the time of invitation, there are some next steps to take, and here they are. First of all, I would say, and according to this story, just like the prodigal son, some of you need to return home. Just a few moments ago, you prayed and asked God to transform your life. In other words, you gave your life to Him, and by His grace, He came. So if that's you, when we start to sing, I want to ask you to come. I'm going to be right down front. As we sing, you don't worry about singing. You just come and say to me, Chris, I gave my life to Jesus today. If that's you, would you come and let that be known? Listen, we're not going to run you up here to the baptistry real quick and baptize you right now. What we want to do is be able to help you to know how you grow from here and what you can do. We won't trick you. We won't cause you to do anything you don't want to do. We simply want to celebrate the fact that you've given your life to Jesus. So if that's you, would you come and say that? Maybe you say, I'm not quite sure still how that works. It's sort of like Torrance coming a couple of weeks ago, and then Justin took a moment after church to talk with her. Maybe you want to come and say, I need to talk to someone about giving my life to the Lord today. Would you come? Return home. Second, would you stop wasting your life? By God's grace, would you, like the prodigal son, do away with frivolous and wasteful things? Would you stop and say, God, I want to live my life on purpose for you? You may want to come and kneel down and just pray and say, God, I give you my life. I want to walk in freedom. Third, maybe the next step for you is to stop trying to earn what only can be given. Now listen, that mindset's not easy to drive away. People try to be a servant instead of a son all the time. As a matter of fact, I would say it this way. That mindset of having to earn it, it will not evaporate. You're going to have to evict it. I believe that with all my heart. Too many people are still using it, even though they've heard not to. So it's not going to go away on its own. You're going to have to put it out of your mind. You're going to have to transform your thinking. So that can start maybe by coming and just kneeling and say, Father, I don't want to try to earn your love anymore. I simply want to live as an expression of the love you've already given. Help me. Ask Him to evict that from your mind daily. For others, maybe you want to celebrate the grace of God by coloring Jesus well. It's just a determination that you're going to live for Him in the coming days and week. Still others, maybe you want to celebrate by uniting with our faith family. God's called you to come and worship here, to join a small group or Sunday school class here, to be invested in what we're doing, to serve here. If that's what God's telling you, listen, I invite you. We would love to have you come and be a part of our fellowship. You simply come, and I'll share with you about that. We would love for you to do that today. Whatever God is saying to you, we're going to pray, and then we're going to move forward in that. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the privilege to come and celebrate that you are at work in our lives, to celebrate that you bring salvation. Still, the lost are still found, the prodigal sons and daughters still return. Father, thank you that we can celebrate your grace and your goodness and your mercy. And Father, my prayer is that every adult and child in this room would each leave here knowing for certain that they have you in their life. If there's one that's prayed to give their life to you today, that they'd come and make it public. If there are others who need to do that, that they would come and make that public today. If there are those who want to unite with our faith family, that they would come today and make that public. If there are those who say, I know Jesus, and so I do need to be baptized soon, they'll come and let someone know it. If there are those who need to get on their knees for a moment and simply say, Father, I've been trying to earn it, so I want to evict that from my mind. I want to just live out of the grace and overflow of being your son and daughter, and not try to be a servant that has to work my way to you. Or maybe for you, it's simply just to come and pray for someone you know who desperately needs to have the chains of bondage broken in their life. They need to be set free from some prison in their life, and you're praying that that prodigal will return. Maybe, listen friends, maybe you've got a son or daughter that is a prodigal from God. They're far from God right now, not walking closely with Him. Would you come and pray for them? Just pray that God and the Holy Spirit will move in their lives and draw them back to Him. God can do that, friends. Don't give up. Don't give up today. Father, have your way among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.